from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Well, good morning. Good morning. A happy Tuesday? Tuesday. James, is it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. I'm not standing. I forgot to... Dude, do you know where my brain's at right now? Here's where my brain is. It is completely fried. Good morning, happy Tuesday to everybody. I forgot to stand up. Like, typically while the intro is playing, I turn my mic off and I adjust my mic stand to be taller so I can stand up and do the show like that. I don't know why. I feel like my energy's different and I just like standing and doing a show. And it stemmed from Pat McAfee because he stands for like his entire show.
Oh.
And not that I would necessarily, because Pat McAfee occupies a lane that I don't necessarily want to or could not occupy even if I did want to. But I just thought, I like that energy. I like that idea. So I started doing that and I forgot to stand up today. Like I prepped everything else. Everything else is ready to go. But I didn't stand.
If it's any consolation, Kyle, if you were Pat McAfee, I wouldn't want to work with you. So,
is it because I wouldn't be wearing sleeves?
No, probably because you keep inviting Aaron Rodgers on to say stupid stuff.
Well, just you know. if Aaron Rodgers wants to do a radio interview, though, let us know.
There you go.
Wouldn't say no. That's James Hamm. He is live from Cabo. I'm Kyle Madsen. I'm here just in regular old Roseville, where we're back to normal summer, and that is a very nice thing. And summer means we have summer league going on down in Las Vegas. Just off the rip, we'll have a bunch of summer league stuff. The Kings got a win last night over the Utah Jazz. We had the home run derby last night. I want to talk about that. MLB All-Star Game tonight. Coverage begins on ESPN 1320 at 4 o'clock. We'll discuss that a little bit. So we were thinking about going to summer league.
Yep.
And when we wound up not going, I was a little bummed because I've never been. And from everything I've heard, whether you're a fan or a media member, Summer League is just a cool thing to attend.
And It is. It's cool. It's cool the first couple of times, but it gets old pretty quick because the basketball is subpar. It's more about networking than it is anything else. Mm-hmm. And to me, even like if your team is playing in the small gym, there are no seats and you're trying to fight to get in early so you can get a seat for a game that might be later in the evening. It's like, I don't know. It's got some pluses for sure. And I've always liked the camaraderie of Summer League. But once you do it like 2 or 3 times, it's like, okay, it kind of gets old.
We got some breaking news out of the NFL. Mike Garofolo from NFL Media is reporting that Brandon Ayuk has officially requested a trade from the 49ers after an offseason of unsuccessful attempts to reach an extension. Despite a recent meeting, the Niners haven't been willing to engage in negotiations since May, so Ayuk has respectfully asked out. Congratulations to anybody who had July 16th as the date that Brandon Ayuk would be requesting a trade. You are our big winner. This is interesting because we're at the point now where the 49ers would likely be wanting to engage in those negotiations because they're getting closer to training camp, and this is about the time. Rookies actually report today for the 49ers. And we're getting closer to the point where the Niners would be wanting to work on that extension, and they've apparently not engaged in those contract talks. So I'm interested to see now whether this trade request turns into the 49ers kicking it into gear as far as negotiating goes, seeing if maybe they come up toward Brandon Ayuk's asking price, seeing if they start, because if they've not had discussions since May, you've probably still got the 49ers with their lowest lowball offer, and you have Brandon Ayuk with his highest offer out there. And if they've not had talks to try and find a middle ground, like, of course, like, nothing's going to happen. I will say this. I don't think negotiations are done entirely, because we saw Deebo Samuel before the draft request a trade, and that was dire. I think we've memory holed a little bit how bad the Deebo situation was for the 49ers. Mm-hmm. When the Jets were on the clock at 10, everybody I know who knows stuff with the 49ers was like, yeah, hey, he might get traded here. Like, he might just go to the Jets for the 10th pick. And it didn't happen. They drafted Garrett Wilson, and Samuel eventually got an extension done. So I will say, this doesn't mean things are necessarily over. But I do think, one, that this will and should probably kick the 49ers into gear on some level. But two, this also doesn't necessarily matter that much.
Yeah, Kyle, I mean, this is sort of the next natural step, right? Yes. We're waiting for this. Like, this is,
it took a while.
I don't know, why do the 49ers do business this way, though? It's got to be like one of the most frustrating things to work for them. Like, just get the deal done. Like, I don't know if they realized just how bad Bosa was for like the first 8 games of the season last year.
I promise they realized it.
Well, they should realize it. And whose fault is that? Like, you didn't work through a deal, and then you gave him the moon, but you should have just taken care of business earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And for Ayuk, he's such an important piece, not just to the current team, but what this team is going to look like in the next 5 to 8 years.
Yeah.
And to not like willingly lock him up right now, and to avoid this drama and avoid making a player feel like he's unwanted and everything else and hold out, I just don't get it. It just feels like it's bad business, and it doesn't seem like it works out for them. They end up paying the mint anyway. So, like, what exactly are we doing here?
That's what I'm questioning. I'm with you. I've always wondered kind of why they did business this way, particularly when you see the wide receiver market exploding the way it has.
Yeah. I mean, this is the going rate. You can't just say, look, I want to live in that neighborhood, but I only want to pay $1 million when every house in the neighborhood is $5 million.
And if they wanted to pay him $25 million a year, whatever the number is, then they should, then they could have done that earlier in the offseason. Ayuk has said as much, that if they had come with $25 or $26 million early in the offseason, then he's signing it, and wow, look at this. The wide receiver market's set, and now the Niners got Ayuk at a relative bargain. Because here's the thing, and this is something I did a bad thing, James. I got into an argument with somebody on Facebook, and it was like 2009 all over again. I hated myself afterwards. I felt dirty. I took a shower. It was nasty. But they more or less said Brandon Ayuk is going to make $14 million, and that's what he's worth, which is just insane. Like, that's nuts. Brandon Ayuk is one of the 10 best receivers in the sport.
Yeah,
if you go dive into,
you could argue higher than that.
Definitely, you could make an argument that it's higher than that, no doubt. And if you go look at it, like, deep dive the numbers, or Matt Harmon at Reception Perception does a really great job of wide receiver analysis, and he makes these charts of how productive receivers are on particular routes and how often they run particular routes. Brandon Ayuk's chart of all these different routes, everything's green. Because he's in the 90th plus percentile in every single route from a production standpoint. And then you tack on what he does as a run blocker. And all of a sudden you have this player who is invaluable to your offense, both as a pass catcher and as a blocker. Plus, he is the favorite target of your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, there's that.
I don't understand. I don't understand it. And I would hope that the 49ers look at this and they're not viewing Brandon Ayuk as a super replaceable piece, because the fact of the matter is he's not. And
Kyle, I totally agree. He's just not replaceable. Like, he is an exceptional receiver, and he's young, mm-hmm. and he fits the timeline for the next generation of 49ers.
Yep.
And it's fine that you went out and drafted a wide receiver, but that wasn't to supplant Brandon Ayuk. That was because you're going to need more wide receivers down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And again, to like get back to the house analogy, that's like buying a fixer upper in that $5 million neighborhood,
yeah.
and still paying $2 million for it, but you're going to fix it up and you're going to put a bunch of money and time into it. Like, what are they doing here? Either you're a contender,
mm-hmm.
or you're not.
Yep.
And these are moves right now that make it feel like you're not. You are hurting the value of your players. You are hurting like the overall growth of a player. And, mm-hmm. and again, we saw it last year with Bosa. Like, you waited, and then finally you get a deal done, mm-hmm. on the eve of, you know, game one or whatever it was.
Yeah, the first week of practice, yeah.
He just doesn't look right. He doesn't look right the whole season.
Nope.
And it's like, hey, whose fault is that?
Same.
And you, yeah, it's just, to me, it doesn't make any sense.
The same could be said for Debo, by the way. Debo, the year he held out, was not the same player in his return, and he talked about how much the offseason contract stuff had an impact on him during the season. With Brandon Ayuk, the 49ers are never going to be a team that is passing it top five times in the league. They're never going to be they may not even be in the upper half of pass attempts. But Brandon Ayuk's ability to win on all these different routes forces defenses to defend the 49ers in a pretty specific way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that, you become easier to defend. Which is where I don't buy into the idea that Brandon Ayuk just does what any old receiver could do and they could just replace him with anybody and be fine. Like, they'll produce offense, but not at the level that they can get to now. So ultimately here's where this sits for me, because we got to hit a break. The 49ers still hold all the leverage here, because Brandon Ayuk is under contract for this season. The 49ers are trying to win a Super Bowl. That's why I don't think they're going to trade him. Because there's nothing they're going to get for Brandon Ayuk that is going to help them as much as Brandon Ayuk will this year. Like, fact. So, I don't think they're going to trade him this year. Ayuk, if he wants to hold out the entire season, he doesn't accrue a full season, which puts him back next year in this exact same spot.
Mm.
Where he has now lost an entire year's worth of paychecks, by the way. That's hustling backwards. So the incentive is, as per the CBA, the incentive is for Brandon Ayuk to play. And then the 49ers have the franchise tag, which they can then just retain Brandon Ayuk the following year on a fully guaranteed deal worth an average of the top five salaries at the position. And now they've gotten Brandon Ayuk for 2 years at cheaper than they would have had he signed a long-term extension.
Hmm.
So, despite the trade request, and if you're just tuning in, Mike Garofolo from NFL Media has reported that Brandon Ayuk has officially requested a trade from the 49ers. Despite the trade request, I'm not that moved. Nope. I think it's ridiculous how the 49ers do business, but the ball is still in San Francisco's court. They still have a chance to go to the negotiating table and work out a long-term deal. And if Ayuk just says, I'm done playing for the 49ers, and that's it, I don't want to do it anymore, then he'll probably play there this season and maybe the next one, because that's what the CBA says the 49ers can do. So that's where everything sits, despite the trade request. If there's any other news on that front, we will have it for you. But for now, Brandon Ayuk has officially requested a trade from the 49ers, and that's kind of where that stands. All right, we've got Summer League to get to. We've got Home Run Derby to get to. We've got MLB All-Star stuff to get to. Plenty to dive into on a July, 16th show. James is in Cabo. I'm here in the studios. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
everybody who hates the 49ers, like everybody out there who's just anti-Niner, just, you know, like, just, you know, I know you're out there. I get it. I honestly get it. I see now. I understand. This is annoying. The Brandon Ayuk trade request thing. If you missed it, Brandon Ayuk officially requested a trade this morning. And it's not annoying that he requested a trade, because I was looking at the break and I couldn't find it. I wrote a post at NinersWire.com at the very beginning of the offseason, where I think it was after Ayuk had followed the team on Instagram or whatever. And I was like, this is the playbook. And I kind of laid out, he's going to probably delete photos on social media at some point. He'll request a trade at some point. Like, everything he's done has just followed the negotiation timeline and tactics, because players only have, and as we laid out last segment, players only have so much power in these spots, right? Mm-hmm. Particularly with Ayuk, who's under contract for this season and then could be franchise tagged the next year. So the way you can fight back is just publicly. You can unfollow the team on social media and rile up the fan base, and delete all the photos on Instagram and rile up the fan base and request a trade, and, oh man, he's serious now. That's all the stuff he can do. But the bottom line is, Ayuk's under contract for this year. If he doesn't want to play, then he really hoses himself down the line. So I can't imagine a scenario where he's not going to play. But at the same time, James, you said it. Why are they still waiting? We've seen the wide receiver market. We know what it is. CeeDee Lamb's the only guy who hasn't gotten paid yet. I don't think the Niners are sitting there looking at CeeDee and going, okay, whatever CeeDee gets paid, that's what we'll pay Ayuk. Like, no, you have a million other comps. You have a million. Just pay him $28 or $29 million a year and call it good, dudes. I don't get it. Yeah. This is annoying.
No, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And I get that they're going to be up against it salary-wise, but that's what having a great team, like, that's what happens. When you have a great team and you have great players, you have to pay those players to stick around and be part of your program. And look, the one thing that Ayuk can do, he can hold out for almost all of the season and then show up at, like, there's, like, a drop dead date.
You have to play six games.
Six games, okay, mm-hmm. But in a 17-game season now, so he can sit out the first 11 weeks mm-hmm. and then, like, stroll in and be like, hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Now you don't have the year over me anymore, and now I can, you know, you're going to have to franchise tag me next season type deal. Yeah.
Although playing only six games and probably looking really bad in those six games because he hasn't been playing football is probably not a great way to go about getting a long-term contract from anyone.
No, it's true. And it's wasting a year of your prime, for sure.
Yeah, but to your point, that's an option for him for sure. Like, if that's the way he wants to kind of skirt the taking a year off thing and splitting the difference. Ultimately, here's where this lands, then we can move on to summer league stuff.
Okay.
Despite the trade request, I still think Brandon Ayuk is going to get a contract extension with the 49ers. And I think it's going to be one that pays him like one of the five or six highest paid receivers in the sport. And I think he's going to be around. The thing I don't think is going to happen is that he gets traded this year. Unless somebody in the chat brought up Davante Adams. If Davante Adams leaves the Raiders, I see the Raiders going after Ayuk. Unless the Raiders just want to trade those two guys straight across, then sure, like that's something they'd explore. But I think a team looking to land Brandon Ayuk right now, whether it's the Commanders, like the Commanders aren't going to trade Terry McLaurin and pick another player for Brandon Ayuk. Or Terry McLaurin in a first round pick. I don't think they're probably super interested in doing that. And same thing with the Steelers. So I'm not really sure how a trade would work here, given the 49ers' goals, and they're going to operate under what is best for them and not what's best for Brandon Ayuk. And I think what's best for both sides is they come to some sort of agreement that's closer to what Brandon Ayuk wants, and get him locked in for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years.
And every player that you mentioned there is considerably older than Brandon Ayuk.
Facts.
And so while you're going to, you know, have a really, really good player and maybe even have a slightly higher ceiling on day one, maybe year two, year three, year four, you're not going to get any, you're not going to get nearly the value as those players age out of the league.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Tough. All right.
If any other Brandon Ayuk stuff happens, we'll let you know. Stay locked into ESPN 1320. It wouldn't surprise me if this time next week we're getting an extension announcement, because this time next week is when the 49ers veterans will report to the facility for training camp. Rookies reporting today, veterans reporting next Tuesday, and then I think shortly after that you'll see the rubber meet the road and you'll see the two sides kind of come together and negotiate a deal. Why the 49ers do business that way? Couldn't tell you.
They like the headache, man.
It's, you know what it is? It's butt. That's what it is.
Oh.
Yeah. Pardon my
Kyle
language.
Kyle said a word.
Pardon my language. Kings.
I don't have a dump button here, Kyle. You better be nice.
he's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. My car is pushing 270,000 miles. I might get it to 300K. Thanks to Jiffy Lube. All right. Kings got a Summer League win last night. They're now 1-1 in the Summer League. James, watch out. The quest to get back above 500 is in full swing. They beat the Jazz. Look, man, a big ups to our guy, Colby Jones, who listens to the program. Yeah, the big time game for Colby Jones last night. What did he finish with, 25-6?
Yeah.
That's my box score. He was really, really good last night. Defensively, made an impact. And what I liked to see last night, again, because you have to grade everything in Summer League on a scale, right? Like there's just a perspective required to kind of get the scope of exactly what's going on. Yeah, 25 points, 6 boards, 3 steals for Colby Jones last night in the Kings 82-70 win. I liked that after a few rough games, he came out and did exactly what we talked about yesterday on this very show. Just go be an NBA player. Like, he is an NBA player in the Summer League. Go dominate the game. And
that's
he did.
What it looked like to me. Yeah. Yep. Like there comes a point where you start to raise somebody's ceiling, right? It depends on what they're doing, but there comes a point where you're like, okay, Keegan Murray we think of as a player that's like right here, right? But then when Keegan Murray goes out and scores like 48 points or whatever it was, 47 points, all of a sudden your idea of who Keegan Murray is and what his ceiling is completely changes. And you're like, oh, all right, I feel much more comfortable with the way that the Kings act like Keegan Murray is going to develop versus how I feel like he might develop. And so it changes your perspective. What Colby Jones just did was he changed the perspective again. He had a bunch of rough games and he really was struggling to fit in. And it almost felt like Doug and the coaching staff there like said, hey, it's time for us to showcase him and to get him going and allow him to be the star tonight. And that's what he needed. He needed one of those boosts. And now I think he's right back to where he was, you know, last season, a player that you're still intrigued by greatly. And you like all the tools and you don't know how he's going to develop, but you do think that he can develop and that you do think that he can eventually help your NBA roster. And so that was a really, really good night for Colby Jones.
Yeah. I don't know exactly where he fits in with the team is currently constructed as far as like a regular rotation player. But had he not had a game like he had last night where it's not just a flash of, oh, a play here and a play there. He was just kind of all game, just the best player on the floor for either team. And that's in a game that Keon Ellis played. So I love to see that for him. I don't know exactly where he fits, particularly this year. But had he just gone the entire summer league looking really bad, now you worry about like a step back in his development where that future role now looks a lot further away. And this is not to say because he went out and lit up a summer league game that he's pushing for minutes now. It's not that. It's just that crater in his development is not as steep as it looked like it might have been. And that's a good sign.
No, I think this is a good thing. Like when you're looking at a player, you want to see these steps that they're taking. And trust me, Colby Jones, they've been working with him behind the scenes like every day. They know exactly who he is as a kid and what kind of player he is, how many 3-point shots he hits out of 100, how many free throws he hits consecutively. They know all of these metrics that he does behind the scenes in practice, and they see how hard he works, and they know, you know, how he works in the weight room and all of these things. But if a player can't do it when the lights are on, when game one of the NBA season, then you always have this question mark of like, okay, we're spending a lot of time on development and we're not seeing the growth in games, and that's a concern. Mm-hmm. And now you saw the growth in one of the games, and you can kind of relax a little bit and get back to the regular scheduled program. And look, I've said it before, with Devin Carter missing, you know, at least half the season, maybe more, mm-hmm. It does open a door. There is a potential for Colby Jones to compete with Jordan McLaughlin for you know, minutes in the backcourt. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, if you have De'Aaron Fox or if you have Malik Monk or one of these players that are in your rotation go, you know, miss a 8-game stretch or a 6-game stretch, you want to know that you have more there and that you don't have to go get somebody else. And that's where I think he kind of put himself back on the map.
Yeah, good game for Colby Jones. Rough game for Keon Ellis. I might be a little bit worried about Keon. We'll talk about why next. He's James Hamm, and he's live from Cabo on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right. Shifting gears a little bit. We'll get to the Kings. We'll get to Keon Ellis, because that is a very important thing that I would like to talk about. But a little bit of news came out of the Home Run Derby last night. All right, so let's start here.
Mm-hmm.
The National Anthem Home Run Derby was one of the most challenging versions of the national anthem that I've ever heard. And here's what, I'm just going to give you a little snippet of what it sounded like. This is the national anthem at the Home Run Derby last night. Ingrid Andress is the singer's name, and here's what it sounded like.
With broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
So that's what that sounded like. And it was the entire song like that.
Mm.
Led to speculation about her state of mind going into the anthem. Maybe she was nervous. She posted today on Instagram, "I'm not going to BS y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans, and this country I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is." Dang, dude.
Life comes at you fast, Kyle.
That went from, like, we all remember Fergie at the NBA All-Star game, right?
Yeah.
Which was kind of a mess. Not a great rendition. I would know about, what's the other one? Roseanne, I think, did one time.
Oh, Carl Roseanne Lewis. Did it at the Chicago Cubs game where she grabbed her crotch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this looked like it was going to go in the pantheon with those. Like this, mm-hmm. this singer just, like I said, whatever it was, nerves, trying to put her own spin on it, whatever. And it turns out that this thing that was like, hey, this is getting a lot of jokes online, is actually a really sad thing. That took a turn. Ingrid Andress, hoping she gets the help she needs, because that was a tough watch last night on national television in front of everybody. So hopefully, like I said, she gets the help she needs, and hopefully at some point she can come back and do a different and better version of the national anthem before an MLB event. Although I wouldn't be surprised if MLB decides not to have her back.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping, Kyle, that this doesn't happen to you on Friday night when you're at the Rivercats game and you show up and you have a few before you get out there, and then you sling one and hit Dinger in the head and knock him out or something.
This is just, you're putting
and then we're
so
having
much better,
we're right? having this whole thing about Kyle and what happened. You go viral. I'm hoping this doesn't happen, Kyle.
It's ridiculous, and we're tired of it.
First of all, if you missed it, I'll be throwing the first pitch out at the Rivercats game on Friday. Get your tickets at rivercats.com. First pitch of the game slated for 6:45, so make sure to get there early so you can see me either show off a useless leftover skill from when I was 18 years old, or make a complete fool of myself. Maybe your video of a bad pitch will be the one to go viral. And then, of course, after the first pitch, I'll be out at the game hanging out, drinking a beer or two, having some good food, and just enjoying the vibes at Sutter Health Park. Such a great place to watch a game. Hope you will be out there again. Rivercats.com for tickets and more information at ESPN1320.com. It's also a giveaway. First 2,500 fans get a free Dinger coffee mug.
Yeah, I'm going to need one really of those cool. mugs, Kyle.
Yeah, dude, it's really cool. I posted a photo of it on Twitter at Kyle A. Madsen, M-A-D-S-O-N. So I'm really excited for that. I haven't gotten to warm up yet. I did this morning wake up. I had slept a little funny.
Oh no.
And my elbow hurt. And it's better now. Like it was like 1:15 in the morning when I woke up, because I was like sleeping on my arm and my arm was numb, so I was getting the feeling, and it hurt in that spot. And I was like, oh no, this sucks. But it's back now. We're all the way back, and I'm fired up for Friday. I can't wait. I'm really excited. So
I'm excited too. I'm excited too. But you know, the elbow hurt this morning. You woke up and then you slammed your pitching hand between the arm of the chair and the desk there at work.
Yeah, it's gone down. The redness has gone down a lot.
Kyle, I just feel like we need to put you. We need to bubble wrap you for like 3 days.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Make sure you make it to Friday night like whole.
And here's the deal. Somebody said, here we go. Getting injured, just thinking about throwing is special. Yeah, exactly. Here's the deal though. There's nothing that could happen to me between now and Friday that's going to keep, you know, knock on wood, nothing within reason that's going to keep me from being out there throwing. I don't care if I have to throw it left-handed.
That's right.
I'm doing it. Like, I'm going to be out there. I'm not missing this opportunity to do a thing I've wanted to do since I was like 8 years old.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
What's funny is
I'm totally in.
What I think being famous would suck. And I've always said, I don't want to be famous. I want to be just famous enough for two things. One, to throw out a first pitch at a baseball game. This counts. The other one was to be selected to play in the Celebrity All-Star Game. Or the celebrity, like pickup game at NBA All Star Weekend, or the softball game at MLB All Star Break. Mm-hmm. I would love to do one of those two things.
Oh,
I got to get my way. Like, I have a long way to go for that. But this Rivercat thing will be a bucket list item for me, and then it's one of those two things.
Okay. I think I like being just famous enough where the guys at Costco ask you what trades are about to happen, but that's about it. The guys are like, yo, the guys who work there, like, yo, James, who we getting? And I'm like, okay, well, this is what I've been hearing, which I keep telling everyone else. But yeah, that's kind of like my level of, like, after that, I don't need anything else.
So maybe throwing out a first pitcher to Rivercats game.
Oh, yeah. No, this would be, I would love that. That would be super fun.
TBD on that. Also, speaking of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, we're covering that for you tonight. 4:00, coverage begins. 5:00, first pitch. If you don't watch a baseball game all year, and I know there's people that are going to be like, oh, I hate baseball. It's so boring. It's fine. It's your right. I'm not going to try and talk you out of that take. But if you're going to watch a game at any point, watch the All-Star Game.
Mm-hmm.
Because A, the level of play is pretty high as All-Star games go. It's hard to fake baseball. You know how they, in the NBA, you can see they're just not trying.
Oh, yeah.
But in baseball, yeah. It's a lot harder to do that. And there's ways you can, but it's just, you don't see it as much in the MLB All-Star game. And the rosters are just loaded. There's so much good young talent in the league right now. Paul Skenes, the starting pitcher for the National League, is one of the most exciting young players in the sport. So if you're going to tap into any baseball game this year, tap into that one and just get a lay of the land. See what's going on in the league. It should be a fun one. And of course, like I said, we'll have coverage for you right here on ESPN 1320 beginning at 4:00. First pitch is at 5:00. Whew. More on that coming up. I want to get back to Summer League, though, with the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, let's do it.
Help me, James. I don't want to be alarmist because I don't want to overreact to Summer League. But I'm feeling some sort of, I don't want to say worried, but something south of worried about Keon Ellis. Because he has not dominated the way I thought he would in the Cal League and down in Las Vegas. And it makes me wonder if what we saw last year, and again, not putting anything on him, not writing him out, nothing like that. But I do kind of wonder if the player we saw last year is just kind of what Keon Ellis is going to be. Like, there's not a different, better, greater offensive bag type version of Keon Ellis. Like, I think he's just going to be a 3-and-D player and a good player. And I think the Kings starting two guard. I just don't know if there's going to be much more to his game than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on what your expectations are. And really, it's what you're trying to build. Like, for me, Keon Ellis might be like the perfect fit player for the Sacramento Kings. He can hit a three-point shot. He plays defense about as well as anyone that you're going to see in the NBA. His ability to get through screens, his ability to play bigger players, his ability to adjust, play the pick and roll, to get in passing lanes, to wreak havoc on an offensive player so much that they end up throwing a soft pass that gets picked off by De'Aaron Fox for a wide open dunk. Like, I really do think that Keon Ellis is one of those players that you stumble upon that you just think you're lucky stars that somehow you found one like him. And, you know, again, the San Antonio Spurs were a team filled with superstars with, you know, Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan and, Tony Parker, and finding a Bruce Bowen to piece it all together was like the most brilliant thing that you could possibly have done.
Yep.
And it's those types of players that make the difference. And we're, you know, again, I like to bring up Kentavious Caldwell Pope, right? KCP. Mm-hmm. It, like, he's been on two championship teams, and he's a guy that just fits. Danny Green. Like, these are the types of players that support your stars. And I think when you put Keon Ellis in summer league and you don't give him a natural point guard and you say, go out there and do what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And the name on the back of your center's jersey isn't Sabonis, it's Timmy. And like, there's just a different level of skill and talent around him. Then sometimes it's going to look forced. And I think we've seen some of the things I like. Number one, the aggressive defense. Like, I love mm-hmm. that he's at like 6, 7, 8 fouls every game.
Yeah.
Because that's what the NBA looks like now. And that's what Keon's playing. He's mm-hmm. not backing off. He's doing exactly what he should be doing at the next level. And that is being a disruptive force. So I'm not concerned at all. Like, I think the 31 point game put a smile on your face and you said, okay, there might mm-hmm. be one or two times in the next season or two where Keon Ellis has to be that guy for one night because everything else has gone wrong. De'Aaron Fox can't hit a shot. Malik Monk can't hit a shot, which we've seen those games where those two can't hit a shot. Mm-hmm. And DeMar DeRozan is out, and you need Keon Ellis to be something bigger and better than he is. And I think it showed that he's got that. And for me, if you're expecting Keon Ellis to average more than like 12 to 14 points at the height of his career,
yeah,
then you're going to be disappointed. It, like, that's who he should be. You know, he should be a guy who, again, this year, probably 8 or 9 points a game, maybe 10 if he's lucky, if he's playing starter, you know, sort of minutes. But how is he going to play starter minutes when Malik Monk is there, when DeMar DeRozan's there, when De'Aaron Fox is there?
Yep.
So I honestly think that you want him to be a great 3-and-D guy. And hey, go get the 6'9" version of Keon Ellis and go get the 6'7" version of Keon Ellis and just keep building the team that way, because that's what every other great team in the league looks like. Mm-hmm. They have like a whole bunch of Keon Ellis's to go around the stars that they have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Derrick Jones Juniors of the world, you know, look at all of the great teams in the league right now. The Jaden McDaniels, right? Not Jalen, Jaden McDaniels in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. These are players that you need on your roster if you're building a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right there with you. But I guess for me, I was expecting Keon to go down to Las Vegas and just kind of light it up and be done. That he's played 2 games down there, mm-hmm. and I'm still feeling a little bit underwhelmed offensively. Makes me think that Like that, I don't know if that other step is coming that I thought would be, but also at the same time, like you just laid out, I don't know that it matters. Like if last year was his ceiling, then you have an excellent defensive 2 guard who's shooting, 41.7% from 3.
Mm-hmm.
So even let's say he regresses and let's call it 38%. All he has to do is be credible enough to be guarded. And I think that's probably fine. If he's not putting the ball on the deck a ton and not turning into this offensive playmaker,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's like the end of the world, especially since, like you said, especially now because you do have DeMar DeRozan who can be that tertiary ball handler if you need it. So I guess the question is, if Keon Ellis is just what he was last year, is that fine?
Yeah, I think it is. I'm going to pull out Ramsey here in the chat. Keon Ellis has no rhythm in summer league. He has no rhythm because they don't have a point guard. And they are trying to run a bunch of stuff through Timmy. But again, Timmy, while he's a very good passer, he's just not Sabonis. The other team doesn't fear Timmy like they do Sabonis. And he also doesn't set the screens that Sabonis does. He's just not as capable of a screener. So those are kind of the, like, I get it. In order for Keon Ellis to be maximized at the summer league level, he actually needs Colby Jones and Mason Jones to step up and do their job and create and be forceful and draw a whole bunch of attention their way. Mm-hmm. So he's open for the wide open 3. And for me, it's almost a good thing Like, I don't want Keon Ellis to get away from who he is. Like, we've talked about this. I think Keon Ellis is a self-made man in the NBA. He's a guy who had to go undrafted, who worked his way through a two-way contract and played a bunch of games at the G League level. And then year two, he shocked everybody when, like, he made the main roster, basically, coming out of camp. And, like, you can say, well, he's a two-way player. No, he actually, like, coming out of camp, Mike Brown's talked about this, how his expectations for Keon Ellis were one thing. And then by the end of camp, he's like, wait a sec, this is way different than I thought it was going to. His leap from year one to year two was, like, astonishing for the coaching staff. He earned his way into the rotation. He went the first six games, eight games he played, the Kings were undefeated when he started. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you start to see him building and building and building. That doesn't change that he's the same exact player he was in high school, the same exact player he was in college, the same exact player that he was in the G League. That's what you want. You want him to not lose his identity. And scoring 31 points in a summer league game can make you lose your identity. And having the realization that that's not who you are and going 1-7 from three and struggling to really put up a big thing, a big, like, scoring punch, that's okay too, because it reassures who he is as a player and who he is as a really good catch and shoot guy, a guy who can get out and on the break, a guy who can maybe have a couple of backdoor cuts that for easy buckets. Maybe he can go get a rebound or two and get a bucket here or there. But there's not going to be any plays run for Keon Ellis in this year or maybe any time in his career. And that's okay. He needs to do his job, and he knows what that job is. And I think in summer league, he's being asked to do a little bit more and maybe even being critiqued on the fact that he can't do a little bit more when that's not who he should be or who he is.
I won't be moved off my spot. He's the King starting two guard. I will say that. I'm a little bit disappointed because I thought he was going to light up the summer league, but it's fine.
Yeah.
I think he's their starting two.
Well, hey, and Kyle, if you have questions about DeMar DeRozan's ability to defend at 35 years old, then Keon Ellis should be your starter.
I totally agree. To him. Couldn't agree more.
I mean, yeah, like if you bookend him between Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray, and those are your two best defensive players with a really strong defender in De'Aaron Fox at the top, and a really good position defender in Domantas Sabonis, okay, like that's how you build a team around him. Now you still need the length and athleticism to support these guys, but you know that's why the summer isn't over yet.
I want to shift gears briefly, and I promise, and I want to shift gears briefly to talk about this thing that I don't want to talk about anymore. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Taking in some summer league action last night, trying to follow the storyline, see what's going on. I am so tired, and please hear me out here. I'm so tired of hearing about Bronny James. That was the case a while ago, but I thought, okay, the draft thing was cool, and I'm pro Bronny. Like, great, go cook. Hope he has a great career. Obviously, he needs some development time, but hey, he's a late second round pick. Expectations should be low, anyways. But man, what a cool story. I'm rooting for the guy. And even all this stuff when, here's his first summer league basket at California Classic, and here's his first game, it's going to be on ESPN and all that. Okay, cool. That's fine, I get it. But we're at a point now where, look, you and I work in the content space, and I work in a little bit different content space than you do, where the goal of my various things that I write is like, hey, get this out there, and you want to maximize. The headline is not player X did thing Y. It's like you have to make the language such that someone wants to click on it, right? Because you want to get indexed in Google and you want to get up there and you want to get clicks. And that's what it's about. That's the game. Game's the game, right? So that's why Bronny James is in every single I see USA Today, company I work for, posts an article after every game that says, how many points did Bronny James score? Lakers Summer League box score. That's the headline. And I understand why the various outlets are doing this, but it's reached the point of, like, it's sad now, because it's really, really clear that he is not ready to be any kind of productive player, even in summer league. And you see ESPN posting a highlight of like, Bronny got up for this one and he's knocking away a lob. And it's a nice little play. But that's the highlight we're choosing to post. And then everybody goes and like, oh, wow, I wonder what Bronny's doing. And you see that he's like 0 for 15 from 3 in summer league. And he scored like 14 total points. And you've got him airballing threes. It's just, it's like, bro, this guy, it's, and this was the danger from the jump, right? The danger from the jump was, hey, he gets all this attention, so he's going to be under a microscope, and then he's not going to be ready to play. That was almost every realistic prognostication of him, was like, yo, this dude is not ready. But now the coverage is so over the top and consistent that it's boxing him into this area that is not fair. And he's his poor performances are going to be what shows up under that microscope. And nobody's going to care that he's LeBron's kid. In fact, there's probably people who like him less because he's LeBron's kid. There's people rooting against him because of that. And now on top of that, there's all this coverage we're getting bashed over the head with it. Whether you, I logged into ESPN yesterday, their top on their NBA site, their top headlines, three of the like seven there were Bronny James related.
Yeah.
Like, dude, get back off the kid. Let him go through his development. Let him cook. Let him be with his dad. That's a really cool story, but we gotta back off, dude. He just it's reaching a point where it's gonna be dangerous.
No, I totally agree. And for me, like, I wanna see the first, second, third game of the NBA season where they check him into a ball game and he's playing alongside his dad for like 3 minutes.
Cool.
And then they check him back out.
Mm-hmm.
Now go spend a year in G League and maybe spend two and maybe spend three. And maybe you never escape the G League because you're not good enough. And that's okay. Like, there are so many other players whose kids have come along, tried to be this player and just fail miserably. I really hope that you're right. It is getting like dangerous time. And I think it's something that, you know, again, I blame LeBron and Bronny for making this decision to come out when he wasn't ready. I mean, again, he did have a major health scare.
Yes.
Like, which totally disrupted his 1 year at USC, and he needed a lot more time, but he's a hard worker. What I've heard, he's a good kid. He's a super hard worker. He has skills, but does he have enough skill to get to the next level? And I thought he did himself such a justice during the pre-draft by talking about like the players that he was trying to work his way into, like the Davion Mitchells of the world. Like, can you be that first? Like, he's not going to be LeBron. And for them to do anything other than just allow him to be whatever player he's going to be, it's the world we live in. It is the clickbait world we live in. It's, you know, how many times I had a boss call me because they want me to write on the 2 minute report. And it's like, nobody cares about the 2 minute report, but I've got to write about it every single time. How many times somebody wants me to write about an Instagram story? I'm like, I don't want to write about an Instagram story. That's not reporting, but that's the world we live in where, you know, this is who they've chosen as like the golden child for right now. And we're going to have to live through it and hope that good things happen for the kid.
Yeah. My hope is that this is a summer league thing because there's no Victor Wembanyama to talk about.
Yeah.
That's my hope. And then once we get to the regular season, we return to some normalcy and he can go on with his career, whatever it's going to be. But right now it's not it. And he's struggling badly. And that's been pushed further under the microscope by the continued coverage of him. So salute to Bronny. It's the last time we're going to talk about him on this show for now. Unless he, like you said, he checks into a game with his dad, that'll be cool.
Yep.
But for the summer league, we're done. Peace out, Bronny. Good luck. All right. MLB All-Star Game tonight. Home Run Derby last night. I have some takes on that. And Kings offseason moves. There's been some big ones. We're going to try and rank them and put them in order from most important to least important. All that coming up in the second hour. He's James Hamm. He's in Cabo. I'm Kyle Madsen. I'm in Roseville. They're Jiffy Lube. They're all over the place. Visit JiffyLube.com to find the location nearest you. We'll be back in a second on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.